I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Big thanks to our new sponsor, Factor. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to go.factor75.com/TMS60. And use the code TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. Coming up on TMS, Wakwanza Forever.
Tossing salads and scrambled eggs for Christmas.
Brian has no soul, week 3.
It's no Popeye, but what is?
A Master Blaster Christmas Carol.
First rats eat the weed, then they're cooking meth.
Dr. Tina, rideshare woman.
I don't like pee debris.
Sharper Image is a dull store.
Avoid the butthole snow.
Man, never go full peacock.
I would like to cancel my free trial of winter, please.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High Christmas special.
A very Denchy cameo.
Murder, He Yoked, with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You rigidly applied the law with no regard for its intent. Well done.
Take this fried mozzarella back to the kitchen and fry it some more.
The Morning Stream.
Can I eat it, or will it eat me?
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for November 29th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that's Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Hello. Hi, and welcome to the 29th of November.
Brian, bring a little color to the show. I've got like the most gray-ass gray clothes on today. It's snowed and it's like 12 degrees and it sucks.
That's what we got. Yeah, it's 16 here and snow coming down like crazy, actually. Yeah.
Kim was out. By the way, it's Kim's birthday. I want you to do something, chat room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we gotta lavish her with praise.
Yes, overwhelm her Facebook page. She doesn't really do Twitter or anything, so lucky her.
smart woman.
Lavish her with praise or whatever, well wishes over on her Facebook page. Just bury her freaking page. Okay, that's the goal today. It's Kim Soans Johnson if you're trying to search for it. And just bury her in it. I just want her to be embarrassed by it all. Okay, it's just go nuts. She's out with her sister right now for breakfast, and then later she's got a thing with a bunch of friends, and she had another one last night, and she barely made it home because the snow was so bad. It was like freaking blizzard conditions, but she made it. All the while, I'm sitting here with the dogs thinking, I might be a widower tonight if the snow keeps up. This is so bad. It was so bad here. Snowed
really?
Like it snowed like a butthole, dude.
That's not the kind of snow I want to be out in.
No, avoid that snow at all costs. We're doing a show. We got stuff. We have things today. Yeah. And we're going to get to all of it.
Don't distract me while I'm writing a post to your wife, okay? Come on.
Yeah. Okay, hey, look. I'm not here to distract anybody. Go do it, everybody. Go nuts. All right. Snowstorm.
Yes. Snowstorm 2022.
It was bad. Look, I knew it was coming, you know. It's the time of the year we're supposed to be getting, you know, finally getting some meaningful, lasting snow.
Yeah.
But now I'd like to take it back. I'd like to go back to what it was before. And, you know, not have that. I mean, right? I love that we get all the seasons here. I really, truly do. I love that. I love the hot summers and the cold winters and all that. But every time I think, oh, I'm excited. It's Christmas time. Get a cozy in with some hot soup and some, you know, just warm house while there's raging snow outside. That all sounds great until you get it. And then you're like, oh, right. I got to take the dogs out and poop in this. I got to, you know, clean the driveway.
And picking up their poop in this is like, you know, because sometimes it just, they poop and it goes, yep. right into a little poop-shaped hole that yep. moved in the snow.
Yeah. yeah, and if you miss one, it's spring when you'll be getting that out. So,
it's yeah. compost, baby.
Yeah.
I don't mind the snow. It's very pretty, but I hate driving in it. But the good news about that is I still don't have my car.
Oh, I was going to. I meant to
Welcome
yesterday.
Welcome to week three of Brian Has No Soul.
How is this possible? I don't get it. I've never heard
apparently,
a car take this long.
We're living in a geographical anomaly where we're 100 miles from the nearest Kia part.
No kidding. Jeez. Do they have to import some crazy part or something? Is that what happened?
No, I don't know what the deal is. I mean, obviously part of this was Thanksgiving, but still it's just insane that a repair can take this long. And we're still waiting to hear back from Kia themselves on if we're making Mexico pay for it, basically.
Yeah, no kidding. No
we're
joke,
gonna build
dude.
Brian's engine and we're gonna make Kia pay for it, everybody.
So the same people that have it right now, they're just waiting for parts? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And when I talked to him, I did call him this morning. I gave him a whole week of me not calling him.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Nonsensical nine word reply. I called him today and said, hey, just want to check in on things. He's like, oh yeah, let me go and check and see if your parts have come in and I'll get back to you at some point today. It's like, oh, great.
He told you that this morning?
Told me that this morning.
Do you feel good about your chances of hearing back? Do you think you're going to hear back from that guy?
No, they don't have a great track record for communication.
I was afraid you'd say that.
It's, I swear to God, here is a business right here that does not make the customer feel like they're valued.
No,
like
ever.
I feel like I have to do all the work.
Yeah. And you're talking about,
I have to call Kia and talk to Kia about paying for it. I have to ask him to order the parts. I have to like, what exactly do you do?
Yeah.
Kia repair guy.
Yeah. And by the way, so I was doing a little bit of, I'd like reading history here and there. And I was doing some stuff about, reading about the year, specifically the year 1942. And something that jumped out at me was that they were trying to keep inflation low while they were trying to ramp up the war machine after Pearl Harbor. And part of the discussion was the U.S. had a guy entirely in charge of price control in the country. The president basically established a position in the executive branch for a guy who just basically his whole job was to keep companies from gouging. And so one of the things they locked in was a Ford back then, a particular popular family sedan Ford, was $500. And they didn't want it to go higher than that. That was the cap. And that was still pretty good money back then. But, you know, in terms of inflation, it's insanely low.
What is that now in inflation terms? But
but the more I was thinking about it is, the reason this connects to what you're talking about is you're talking about potentially $6,500. Which is, what is this, 12 and a half Fords in 1942?
Right, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 12 and a half cars or something. And
right.
And the fact that they're not being, like, I feel like that number, $6,500,
yeah,
is a big enough number that no matter who you are as a company, that should represent the highest levels of customer service.
I agree. Exactly. Like whether I'm paying them $6,500 or Kia ends up paying them $6,500, that should be a freaking priority.
Yeah.
Like that should, you know,
yeah.
That's the amount of time they've had it. And as a bunch of people in the chat room have pointed out, they should have offered me a loaner.
Yeah. 100%. That part surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't get that. But like, you know, $6,500. It's a lot. It isn't like Brian's going, oh, we have to wait for a gas cap to come in that's costing me $8.
Exactly. No,
it's almost $7,000. Like, I mean, my gosh.
Know. And the stress, like this is basically I'm on week three of not having a car, but week two of having this, Jabba the Hutt size bounty on my head that I have to find out if, who's going to shoot first in the Foundation Kia dealership window.
Dang, it's really rough. But anyway, I hope they call you back today, give you some news.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
I hope so, too.
I was thinking, too, about... So Kim's well into her stupid holiday
Hallmark
crap.
Hallmark-a-thon?
Yeah. Turns out Paramount Plus has it. Or no. Is it Peacock? One of those two. One of the two peas has a ton of that stuff.
Has she? So there's a new one with Lindsay Lohan.
She hasn't seen it yet, no.
Okay, and then there's another one with Justin Hartley, or what's the guy's name from This Is Us?
Oh, I don't know him.
The handsome guy that Tina has a little crush on.
He's got his own deal. I mean, it's starting to become...
Bob Hartley.
Bob Hartley?
What's the guy's name?
Oh, that can't be it. the one she wants to see... She wants to see this Kelsey Grammer one that's coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Where it's basically...
It's called Tossed Salad and Scrambled Eggs for Christmas, is what it's called.
I wish. It's more
Goodbye,
like...
Goodbye,
North Pole. It's more like... oh, gosh, what was it? Oh, it's like Scrooge, kind of. He's like a fancy businessman that needs to learn the real meaning of Christmas. It sounds like shit. But I'm noticing this trend toward mainstream actors and others like, hey, I'll do this once. I'll come make one of these.
I know the money must be good, right? Yeah. It's got to be.
It's weird. It's very weird.
This doesn't lend credence to why Lindsay Lohan's doing one because,
good point.
What's going on with her lately?
Yeah, how's she doing? I hope she's doing okay. But
I hope she's doing okay, too. And she, by all accounts, and I still need to see it, I need to put on my list that her performance in that Lake Will Be Gone.
She is good in that.
That's what I hear.
That's a good movie. That was a Robert Altman joint before he died.
Yeah.
Right. Robert Altman? Is that name right? Yeah. Robert Altman.
I think so. The guy, the player and Shortcuts and...
Yeah. He's good at this huge ensemble stuff, and that was a very good version of that. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no Popeye, but...
no, but what is?
Yeah, really, what is? At the end of the day, what is? Anyway, so it got me to thinking...
Hey, Shelley Duvall, you were great in The Shining. Can we give you olive oil as your next role, please?
Exactly. Now, here's the thing I don't understand. I'm watching this thing on... Or she's watching some, girl from the big city is now stuck in town and falls in love with the candy store owner or whatever it is. So that's all going on. And then there are commercials. And I'm like, wait a minute. I pay for Peacock Plus, not Freecock, which gives you the commercials. So I'm all annoyed. I'm like, why is this why are there commercials? She says, well, I thought that's just how this thing was. I don't know why, but apparently all those Hallmark things have commercials in them. Even if you pay for full Peacock.
Really?
Yeah. Peacock Plus or whatever.
That's insane.
It's all plus now, right?
There's premium. So there's, here's the deal. Peacock free.
Freecock. Right, Freecock.
Then there's premium, and then there's premium plus.
Oh, what is that?
$4.99 gets you premium.
Yeah.
Which is 80,000 hours of great entertainment all in one place. Tons of hit shows and originals, new and hit films, live sports and events. $4.99 a month. Or... premium plus, no ads. $9.99 a month. So for additional $5, no ads and download.
Okay, I'll have to check because I thought I was paying for the higher tier, but maybe I'm not. I might not be because I don't value. Yeah. I hardly ever go to Peacock ever.
Yeah,
I just don't go there. Like I do more on Paramount than I do Peacock, and
I know because it feels like everything you'd want from Peacock, I think you can get from like Hulu and stuff if you
a lot
on
of it,
right?
Yeah.
Like SNL comes on the next day on both services. So it's like I think that might be I take that back. Quantum Leap, that's right. We do watch Quantum Leap on Peacock.
Yeah. Well, commercial, I guess I have commercial cock. And that's it's going great. It's going great. Really enjoying it. What this got me thinking. I was sitting there and I thought, you know what I liked more than this one? I said, you know what I like more than this was that Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. I like that better than this. And then I kept saying it every time a new one would come on. I'd say the same thing. And it was just to annoy her. But it got me to thinking, what other things would be fun to do this treatment for? And they don't have to all be nerd stuff, although maybe those fit well. But like, I would watch a Fury Road holiday special, just like a one-off stupid thing out of canon or in canon. I don't care.
Sure.
Just a dumb half hour to 45 minute TV thing, just a little bit like what they did with Guardians.
Morton Joe has lost the Christmas spirit.
There you go. It's exactly right. And Nux is like poor Jacob, or no, not Jacob Marley. Who worked for him? Who worked for Scrooge?
Wasn't it Jacob Marley?
No, Marley's the old dead guy ghost.
Yeah, and I thought that he used to work with Scrooge, no?
Yeah, oh, he did.
Oh, Bob Cratchit, the current...
Bob Cratchit, current guy. There you go. He's the one, so he'd be Nux, because he'd be scurrying around trying to do everything Mr. Scrooge wants him to do. You got the, it's written for you. It's done.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well done.
To call George Miller, I have a beautiful idea for him. If you could take a thing that you like a lot, Brian.
Yeah.
It can be more Marvel stuff, like, even. Whatever.
Obviously, you know, I'd love a Spice Girls variety hour that where they sang nothing but Christmas carols without Posh.
Would they
basically just have Posh sipping cocoa on a white leather couch in the back, and have the other four of them joined by new Spice Girl.
Oh yeah, who do we put in?
Brittany Wolf. Bring it.
That's good.
I don't know if she's British though. No, it's got to be like.
Well, it has to be British, yeah.
She has to be British. Who am I liking lately? Is Church's lead singer? Is she no, British?
I like Traverses, and that singer's
Traverses,
cool.
Yeah.
Are British, I think. I think they are. Are they?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm checking. Just do something
wild, getting like Judi Dench or something in there, you know?
Oh, you've got it right there. Mm-hmm. Special guest lineup, and every song has a new Spice Girl joining them.
Yeah, I'm in on this. I think this is a great idea. Go. Speaking of Judi Dench, what did I just see her in that was like a weird cameo? It wasn't the holiday special, was it? No, something else. Oh no, it was. It's the new Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell thing. Judi Dench.
Oh, right. The Spirited?
Yeah, Judi Dench has a very brief cameo in it, and it's awesome the way they do it.
Cool. Yeah, we were going to watch that over the weekend, and we did not.
You should. It's good. It's very good. Before the holiday, just before Christmas sometime, if you get a chance. I thought it was way better than it should have been. What about other Marvel stuff? Like, could they, the ultimate,
feels
like
Ms. Marvel. Oh, I guess Ms. Marvel wouldn't be, it would be like,
they'd be a Ramadan or whatever.
Ramadan. Yeah. Let's see, a Wakanda Christmas.
I like that one. It works for almost all of them. Avengers
Christmas.
It really
Christmas. Does. I mean, you could easily do, cause it's basically the same kind of thing, right? It's character X has lost their Christmas spirit, or the members of this team decide to put on a Christmas play, or
you know what you could do, just redo another Star Wars one. Let's get back to the original.
You could, exactly, and especially since Disney has fully leaned into the whole Life Day thing. For a while it was like, oh no, sorry, that's not canon. Yeah. No, that's we don't do that.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, Life Day at Disneyland, people walking around in big red robes, and they're selling the robes at Disneyland and selling the orbs and all that stuff. They have fully leaned in at Black Spire Outpost.
Yeah. There's money to be made. So embrace Life Day, I say.
Yeah, exactly.
Get those Wookiees what they want.
I'm going to be using the tenderest cut of the bantha, the loin.
Yeah. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. That's Harvey Corman right
Harvey
there.
Harvey Corman. Yeah, that's right. I always forget.
Sped up Harvey Corman. Yeah. Harvey Corman at, 1.25 speed on downcast is what that is.
Bring that back. All right, there's that. Hey, I saw some pictures of you yesterday making something that looked big, not so small. No. Wait, what? I don't know. I'm not doing it right. But you look like you were making homemade shit.
Way to do my joke that I wrote. I got to learn not to do that.
It's a pretty good joke. But what did you, I mean, I can't believe you made that. That looked amazing, and I'd like to eat it.
Yeah, it's called Honeycomb, and we've been seeing people make honeycomb on British Bake Off for years. For season after season, somebody's like, I've decided to do a cake, but also make the bottom layer crushed honeycomb.
Mm.
And, it is relatively easy to make. It's like a lot of wait. Okay, it's 300 degrees. Now you have eight things to do all at once.
Mm.
It's basically honey, sugar, or sugar and corn syrup and water. And you cook it until it starts to caramelize. And then as soon as it gets to 300 degrees, and you have a little candy thermometer sitting in there letting you know as soon as it gets to 300 degrees, then you take it off the heat quickly, whisk in a tablespoon of baking soda, and the thing blows up like you're inflating an airline headrest.
Oh, it's weird.
Like, three times its size.
Does it do turns it quickly? Like you can see it
instantly,
do that?
Instantly. Yes. Weird. Instantly. So you, like all at once, you got to take it off the heat, drop in the tablespoon of baking soda, take out the thermometer, whisk it like crazy so it mixes in that baking soda thoroughly throughout everything, and then pour it onto a prepared cookie sheet with some parchment paper on it.
Yeah.
And then once you do that, you just got to let it sit and cool for an hour, and then it turns into like a hard, crispy, like almost like a toffee crispiness. Maybe not quite as dense as, definitely not as dense as toffee, but light and airy. Yeah. If you've had a violet crumble, which I know listeners, I know you've had it because listeners sent us a big box of Australian candy.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is. Oh.
Or violet. I keep wanting to call it violet crumble. Violet crumble.
So good.
Here's the deal, though. The problem with this stuff is on its own, it's honey and sugar. It's effing sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What you want to do is crumble it up and put it on yogurt, or crumble it up and put it on ice cream. Or as Before Tank Girl and Jeannie suggested on Twitter, melt some dark chocolate and pour it over it, like basically have a semi-sweet or an unsweetened dark chocolate on there, and that'll kind of counteract the oversweetness of it.
Interesting. And, so you smashed it up with this Thor hammer.
I did. That's a meat tenderizer that Tristan gave me for Father's Day.
That's awesome.
It was like the perfect thing. Oh, yeah, Squid Game. That's right. The whole thing where they're like trying to cut the shape out of the deal, that was Honeycomb, that they're trying to cut the shape out of one of their tasks.
Okay.
Cutting the umbrella shape or the heart or the circle or the triangle.
Oh, man. If I wasn't off the shug, I'd eat that whole freaking... Look at that. That looks so good.
I mean, this is probably the worst thing. If you're off the shug, you could pretty much not even... glance at that, because all it is showing.
It is kind of, so, I am kind of having, just looking at it, I feel a little diabetic by looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn that off there. No, that's awesome.
So anyway.
Very nice. What do you think Paul Hollywood would have said? Would you gotten a handshake? What do you think would have happened
there? No, because on its own, it's, you know, he would have said, that's great. What are you putting it with? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that honeycomb?
You think he would have done one of those weird things where he stands like 12 feet away and stares at you and just looks at you?
Yes. Like in the background, like.
Yeah. Those are so weird when he does that.
I love the shots. And I don't want to cannibalize anybody's, because I don't think anybody's using it for recommendals. But we've been hooked on, now that the most recent season of Great British Bake Off is done, we're hooked on Junior Bake Off. And we're like, apparently the U.S. is like 3 years behind the UK. So they're showing season 6 on Netflix right now.
Those kids are all in college now, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But these kids, I swear to God, it's hilarious watching, because they drop crap on the floor, they pick it up, they put it back, and they do this thing where they do that, and then they look and see if the camera's on them. And of course the camera's on them. It's like they're totally busted. Or there's this one girl that we really like named Fern. And she's making eclairs, and so she's trying to fill the eclairs, like, you know, with the pastry filler, and it's not working. So she just like looks at the eclair and kind of looks around, and then just like shoves an entire eclair into her mouth, and then looks around for the camera.
That's amazing. That's
so great. Yeah.
Well, this still has what's her host?
Not in season 6. Season 6 okay. is. What's the guy's name? Liam, who was a contestant.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Right.
He was great on his season. I think he won, or at least came in second or third. And then a woman named, they shorten her name to Rav. She's great. And then the host is was it Matt? No. Bill Barry or something like that. Anyway, he's like a British comedian, and all three of them, excellent with the kids. Like, they, you know, Paul Hollywood would rip these kids apart mercilessly.
Oh yeah. You need them, the rest of them, to help pad that out.
Totally. So all these, you know, the other two judges are like, all right, well, I see what you're going for here, and it tastes great. You just need to work on your your presentation, and it's really like a pile of uncooked dough on a plate with a squirt of chocolate in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at some of these finished works.
See what you're going for.
These are horrendous. Some of these. Oh my gosh.
They really are. It's almost like watching Nailed It.
Some of them are so bad. It's like watching me do it. I would not be able to compete
with these kids.
That's amazing. All right. Well, cool. That's good to know, actually, because we finished the season as well, and Kim was like, I'm in the mood for more of that.
Oh, you got to watch this. Like, you will fall in love with these kids. They are so freaking adorable. There's this kid named Charlie who is like a walking espresso. The kid is like
a little hyped up.
I don't even know if who's the guy that collected the beans in the mountains of Colombia? Or Juan Valdez.
Juan Valdez.
I don't even know if Juan Valdez is this amped up.
Yeah, I wonder if Juan Valdez gets high on his own supply, you know?
He might. Harry Hill. That's comedian with the
Harry Hill.
Ginormous Harry Hill. He's the actual host, and he walks around, talks to the kids, not a judge, but he's the Noel and Matt of
just
the season.
Just one dude. No.
Just one dude. Okay. Yep.
Probably a little overwhelming to have more for those kids.
Maybe, yeah. And also, I mean, that's all he needs to. Basically, they don't need a couple of guys doing this.
Need
one person to say, 30 minutes, Bakers. You have 30 minutes.
Is Prue still doing it? Not Prue. Prue.
Nope. Not involved with season 6, although I hear that she and Paul Hollywood come back for other seasons. So. Okay.
They just seem like they'd be annoyed to do this. I don't know why.
Prue, maybe not so much Prue. Like, I could see Prue and Noel and Matt loving the kids and just, you know, playing along with them, but yeah. I could definitely see Paul Hollywood just not having any of it.
No, lacking the patience required.
Exactly.
Is what I'm thinking. All right, well, good luck with that.
Go watch that. If you've not watched it, that's the best thing you could watch instead of Hallmark Christmas specials.
There you go. If you're looking for Kyber crystals or honeycomb, Brian Germain.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. I have both.
Yep. Didn't you never ended up with a black one, right? Or whatever you're looking for?
Ended up with a black one, but they only did 5. So was a very, you know, it's like buying 5 lottery tickets and looking for the $100,000 winner. I probably have to buy another 5 or maybe 10 more, whatever. But
good point. Well,
got listeners who don't have a red one and who've emailed me about, hey, can I buy one of those from you? I'm like, yes, you can. So
why? Certainly, you'd say to those people.
Certainly. I do want to take a picture with one of my Kyber crystal holders filled with red crystals.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
You should do that. You can do that.
I will do that.
Yeah, you can and will. You shall. You might, you shall, you will, you can, you must.
That's right. Can I do it? Yes, I can.
All right. It's time for the news. Today's news is brought to you by
the Jack Hanna method.
Oh, let me explain this. So
please do.
I've got this project I have to work on and kind of really focus on, but I can't focus without some. This is a weird thing about me. I can focus, but I need some background things to help me do it.
Yes, sure.
I think a lot of people
like
are like this.
Like a little noise, right.
Music or white noise or something, TV, something. I need something. So I decided to play this giant playlist I found on YouTube that is all of Jack Hanna's appearances on David Letterman from the first one in 85 all the way up till 2015 when Dave retired. And it's so good and perfect, by the way, for what I needed, because it's just smile inducing, funny as hell every time, always amazing, never let me down kind of moments. And I just had that on repeat behind me, and it was fan freaking tastic.
I've got to do instrumentals. I could not do anything with talking or words or lyrics or anything like that.
Depends on what I'm doing. I can see what you mean, because there's certain things I can't do without. You know, if I have lyrics, that's the worst. Just like human words while I'm trying to think of other human words. Forget it. It's bad. It's bad time. Anyway,
does not work. Yes.
Highly recommend it though. Just go search for Jack Hanna Letterman playlist, and it's all there. And he's amazing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, boy, are you in for a treat.
Oh, you're in for a treat. Yeah.
That guy's amazing. I hope he's doing it.
Every episode is David Letterman getting up away from his desk and saying, nope, sorry, I'm not.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of the
Bring
stuff.
A live tiger.
Some of the stuff is I forgot how ridiculous the things he would bring out entire elephants, like 2-3 elephants, and then try to manage it. And it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Check this story out. A woman sues Kraft Heinz. I didn't realize they were merged. Did you know that?
I didn't either. No, Kraft Heinz.
Kraft Heinz. They're the same.
Any relation to Cheryl Heinz? Because I really like her.
Oh, she's great. You know, Larry never really truly appreciated.
Larry, what the hell's the matter with you?
I'm ready for a rewatch of that too. That sounds like fun.
Oh, see, now that would be a good rewatch.
Man, yeah, I'm in the mood. Anyway, she sued these folks. Kraft, you know, they make the mac and cheese. You get the Heinz and make the ketchup. Sure. Well, anyway, she sued him for $5 million. She says this is because the mac and cheese preparation isn't as advertised. Oh,
jeez.
Florida woman is suing them for $5 million, claimed they misled the public about the time it takes to prepare its Velveeta microwavable mac and cheese cups.
Oh, gotcha. So these are the little individual standalone containers. You open it up. It's like the cup of noodles, but it's mac and cheese, basically.
And they're really, my experience was, the one I ever had, it was not good.
Right.
It was a bad food choice. Okay. Yeah. Just going to put that out there. Court records show that West Palm Beach-based law firm filed the suit on behalf of Amanda Ramirez in the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Florida on November 18th. Ramirez is listed as the main plaintiff in the class action suit, which alleges Kraft Heinz violated federal law by saying Velveeta shells and cheese cups take 3.5 minutes to prepare. She doesn't think this is true.
Sure, yeah.
This is how the lawsuit describes the process. First, customers must remove lid and cheese sauce pouch.
Sure.
Nothing better than cheese from a pouch.
Yeah, boy. If that doesn't get your mouth watering, cheese sauce pouch.
Yeah. I'm starving now.
The word pouch in it.
I can't wait for lunch.
And I'm instantly hungry. Yeah.
I'm going to eat that today. Next, they must add water to the fill line and stir. Third microwave, uncovered, on high for 3.5 minutes. Do not drain. Finally, they should stir in contents and cheese sauce from cheese sauce pouch. Defendant then notes that cheese sauce will thicken upon standing.
Wow, I love the caps in this. Like, it's all caps. Like, the actual things that would take time. Remove lid and cheese sauce pouch.
They remove. Do not drain. Stir it in. You know, cheese sauce is not the only thing that will thicken upon. Well, I thicken upon sitting. I need to stand more. Consumers seeing ready in 3.5 minutes will believe it represents the total amount of time it takes to prepare the product. The suit states, meaning from the moment it is unopened, to the moment it is ready for consumption. Right. I think this is a overly litigious suit and a little bit ridiculous. $5 million.
Okay, this is, you know, if you're like, oh my God, I need to leave the house in 3.5 minutes for my dentist appointment, and, you know, heaven forbid you go to the dentist and have a Kraft or a Kraft mac and cheese the moments before you leave without brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
But, you know, like an actual lawsuit, instead of just saying, hey, you know, maybe you want to adjust this and actually include the 8 minutes it takes to prepare, not just the 3.5 minutes in the middle of it.
Yeah. Lame. I think
$5 million in damages.
She should not win damage. What? How are you damaged? Because you had an extra minute.
I believe she's damaged, but I don't believe it comes from.
Good point. I don't think the mac and cheese damaged you at all, but something did.
Yeah, you came pre-damaged before we even pulled off the lid and dumped cheese sauce into you.
It's the kind of people, I think, if you check into their history, they probably have done something like this before, you know.
Cyber squatting or
something, like burn them somewhere.
They're into the get rich quick, you know, the all right, how can I make some money really quick?
Yeah, like Sbarro Pizza. There was a hair on my pepperoni and I'd like to sue for $8 billion. Like,
right.
Come on, man. Exactly. Try not to be weird. Here's one. Sure. If you ever wonder what happened, if you got like a ton of cannabis and it just suddenly disappears.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
But it hasn't disappeared yet. Okay, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
Tell me what I need to do.
Well, that's good because it means you don't have rats. That's what that means.
Oh, good.
According to Indian police, they are now blaming 500 kilograms
is.
Those are really good legs, I guess.
I don't have rats, but I do have neighbors from Wisconsin. Does that count?
Yeah, no, it totally does.
Yeah, it totally does.
And they've got the cannabis to be eaten by rats for sure. Anyway, they ate these rats, according to the police, ate 500 kilograms of cannabis stored by Indian police. Rats in northern India have been accused of eating hundreds of kilograms. These were seized from drug dealers, by the way, and stored in police warehouses. I think that probably means, I was going to ask if there was any part of India where pot was legal. I don't think so. I think pot is still very criminalized there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question.
As far as I know. Tell Dave not to go to India.
Is it just Amsterdam, or have other countries started saying, all right, we see what the U.S. is doing. Maybe we'll do the same thing here.
Well, Carter says in Iceland, it's like here in that it's like the equivalent of federally illegal, but everyone's doing it and nobody's enforcing it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think there's a lot of that going on around.
Right, right.
I mean, it happens here in the States a lot. You know, somebody in, I don't know, you could be Idaho and drive to...
I mean, Utah's still medicinal, but no recreational.
Yeah,
right?
Medicinal, no recreational. Every state around us is recreational, so it doesn't take anything for a Utahan to drive down to Vegas and get
easy,
their weed.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to... I don't know, maybe this is it's a lot of white guy privilege, but I think a lot of people like, oh, we'll go down there and do that and come back and never, no one's the wiser. Whereas I don't want to speak for everybody. I know people of color get pulled over for no reason at all. So maybe they get busted. I don't know. But
right. Right.
Anyway, so here's what it says. Rats are small animals and they aren't scared of the police, noted the court document. After hearing that local police were unable to furnish almost 200 milligrams of confiscated cannabis and was supposed to be used as evidence in a recent case. They said the police had been asked to provide this cannabis, but the prosecution flagged to the court, it's weird, that more than 700 kilograms of the marijuana stored in various stations across there had been impacted by the rat infestation that had been going on. Apparently, it's not the first time it's happened. They say the rodents have also been blamed for a total of more than 500 kilograms of pot and weed for various cases. The court laid down guidelines for the police to auction or dispose of the cannabis. Auction. See, that tells me that if it's right. auctionable, then that's maybe there's a legal aspect to it.
Exactly, yeah. Otherwise, how are you auctioning it if it's not legal? So, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's still illegal, even like in Colorado, it's still illegal for someone to, without a license, be selling pot. So like if Brian, if you went down the street in Denver and said,
I couldn't sell, right, exactly.
Yeah, you can't sell weed without you have to be licensed, whatever the state's rules are. So maybe that's what this is. It's like.
And I think I can grow my own up to a certain number, up to like a certain number of plants or something like that.
Right. Does Dave do that?
It has to be stuff that I use personally.
Huh? Does Dave do that? Just curious.
No.
I'm surprised he isn't.
No, it's too easy for them to get it otherwise. It's like, why would I go through the hell of growing and having to take care of a plant and all this?
It's a good point. I don't know how any personal pot growers actually get anything done.
I know. It's like dedicate your whole closet with that grow light in it. And, you've got to constantly maintain, it looks like. And
Vegas edibles made me feel like I didn't care about anything but the weird shapes on the street. That's all I care about.
So, why am I hearing this flick noise? What is that coming from?
What is that flicking sound? Right. I can hear it from here. Anyway, so there you go. They got rat problems. So India, get on that. Fix that up. Get that
there
going.
There you go. And now you got to worry about your supply of Cheetos.
Oh, yeah. That's value. Oh, Brian, the knock-on effects are terrible.
Pizza rat, step aside for Cheetos rat.
Pizza rat. Here's a story I like a lot. A man has been arrested after family Monopoly game turns violent, Tulsa police say. I like this because I hate Monopoly.
Exactly. And I could, without reading the story, I'm going to guess that the person who got angry wasn't involved with a trade that gave two other people he was playing with monopolies on some properties, all three of the orange and the red properties. They did a little trade.
That's
without me reading the article, but that's what I'm guessing was the.
All right, let's find out if Brian. Issue. Let's find out if Brian's close. I'm not sure they get into that much detail, but I kind of hope they do. The Tulsa Police Department arrested a man Saturday night after he said a family game of Monopoly turned violent. Officers were called to a shots fired.
Wow. Thing. So gunplay was involved.
Yeah. It wasn't just a little silver thimble and a wheelbarrow.
Did he fire the cannon?
Is that that's what it is. The cannon, and then, you know, there's probably some other...
the iron block.
Yeah. So, and they have, like, so many little pieces now, they probably have other guns. Who knows?
No, they definitely don't have
other guns. Didn't they have other guns for the pieces?
I don't think they have any projectile weapons, except for the cannon, even still have the cannon.
I can't remember. I thought I saw something.
You know, maybe in Americopoly, you know, like all the... it's a cheeseburger and a gun.
Right.
An AK-47, a cheeseburger.
Yeah, they do that. I guess, the custom ones would have different stuff, but you're probably right. They don't. Like, the Star Wars one probably doesn't have a blaster, as far as I know.
No.
But probably.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Now that you say it, like the... I see what you're saying. Like the fantasy ones. Uh-huh. Oh, they might.
They might. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't played one of those in a long time. I have the Warcraft one, but I think it's all hammers and swords and stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if the Game of Thrones one has those cool little pieces that they use on the map table in House of the Dragon.
Oh, that's cool. Like,
those pieces were great. You know, I probably could find those and 3D print those.
Those are so cool,
all
dude.
All the different house playing pieces.
Hell yeah.
Parcheesi pieces of Westeros.
I never followed up with you. Did you watch the whole thing? Did you guys finish it?
We did.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it tremendously.
I did too. I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
You know, you think you're rooting for this person, and then you're kind of rooting for this other person, and then, oh my gosh, I'm not rooting for that person anymore.
Some people complain about the time jumps. I'm fine with them because I think they're trying to, whatever. They've established that this is a different pace, and that's fine. But some of these kids are turning out to be turds, man.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. The
Patchy McGee over there.
Patchy McGee. Holy cow.
Amen? He freaks me out.
Aegon.
Yeah. He's your next Joker. I'm telling you. Hire that guy.
Is he? is he? Do we? Is the Mad King from the original flavor Game of Thrones? Was he a Targaryen or was he a Baratheon?
He's a Targaryen, but
he's a Targaryen. Okay.
Jaime. So, but we don't have that guy yet in this.
We don't.
Group.
Okay.
Gotcha. Because he'd be too old.
He has not been introduced as a character in House of the Dragon, as far as we know.
Yeah, because like 170 something years or something.
Yeah.
But
That's right. That's right. His Daenerys' dad was the Mad King.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And Jaime killed him. That was 2011. You guys, it's spoilers. It's okay if we say it.
It's totally fine.
But Jaime, that's why he was the King Killer, or the King, whatever it was.
King Slayer.
Yeah. And then that's when Baratheon stepped in and took over, and then
that's right
was the king. Yeah.
Yep.
And then he had to run in with a bad pig, so that was fun. I kind of want to watch that all over again now that I finished.
Which season would you stop at?
I think I'd go all the way. You know what? I keep hearing, like, my daughter's just finished the whole run, and she says it's so much better. First of all, outside the window of overhype, but also,
binged versus week to week.
Yeah, you binge it. It doesn't feel as weird as the tail end did when you watched it happen live every week.
Okay.
So
all right.
We're worth probably revisit. I'm gonna find out for myself, I guess, and see. But
yeah, let me know.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Where are we here?
The Monopoly game, and I looked, and there's no information in the news story what caused the fight. But
what I love about it is it says officers were called at shots fired near Admiral and Mingo. Give me my Street. Mingo phone. I need to talk to Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
The caller identified suspect as John Armstrong, can't read, saying he chased her down and fired a shot at her and her father when they arrived. They took her into custody. They've been drinking alcohol and playing Monopoly. Bad combo, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Fight broke out between this dude and his stepfather, knocking over the game board and turning over furniture. They took the fight outside. Armstrong pulled a gun out after getting cut in the head and chased his stepfather and sister down the street, pointing the gun at them. The police said he fired one shot at the ground, is the quote. Officers did not find the gun, saying they believe Armstrong hid it in the house before surrendering. He was arrested and booked into the Tulsa County Jail, which sounds like an Old West story. I love that. Where is he? He's in the Tulsa County Jail. We got to go bust him out.
Tulsa County Jail sounds like it's part of a Johnny Cash song, doesn't it?
Yep. Tulsa County Jail.
Monopoly money and game pieces scattered around the living room validated the story. I'm like looking to see if any of the articles have more information.
Yeah, they don't say what. Nobody's got info on what kicked it off. That's a bummer.
No, it was definitely somebody traded Indiana for New York Avenue and gave two players a Monopoly that John Armstrong was not involved in.
Yep.
And so his goose was cooked as soon as they put some hotels on that ship.
Yep, I agree. I think Brian, look, Brian knows the apex of when people fall apart. I know
what would anger me. Maybe not to the point of shooting at somebody, but
right.
Like, ah!
What always made us mad is I have a sister, not Misha, not Wendy, the other one, who I don't talk about very often, who was the bank, always wanted to be the banker and was always stealing money.
Wow.
Always taking fake money out of the fake bank. It pissed us off so bad every time we played.
Yeah.
Drove us crazy. And we'd see her do it, and she'd deny it. She'd like slip 100 and go, and you'd see her pull it away. And I'm like, damn it, Tara, what are you doing? Oh, there's her name, Tara.
Tara.
I was going to avoid not saying
You know, anybody who listens to this show knows it's Tara.
she's trouble. Not just in Monopoly either.
Right.
She doesn't have a monopoly on trouble. Final story. This is a quick one. A genetically modified tobacco plant is now producing cocaine in its leaves.
That's right. The tobacco is the gateway drug to cocaine. We found it. It's right here.
The complex biochemistry that sees coca plants make cocaine has been unpicked and replicated in a relatively weird way in a tobacco plant. Recreating the process by modifying other plants or microorganisms could lead two ways to manufacture the stimulant or produce chemically similar compounds with unique properties. Good news. You can get your coke and your tobacco. You can get your tobacco and your cocaine at once. Are you excited? I am.
Totally, yeah. I mean, you know, because nothing. Who doesn't like a good cocaine chaser?
Oh, yeah.
After a...
Just immediately.
Posting in the chat room, TMS Taskmaster for Vegas 2023. Rousing game of Monopoly.
Nice. Nice. Now, what could go wrong? It'll be fine.
What could go wrong? Bobby hates it too, apparently. So
my game sucks.
I don't know how Amy or Fletcher or...
I'm going to, you know, I'll admit something. I'm working on a game right now that's gotten pretty far in process, and it is a follow-up to my Rock Runners game, but a little bit more advanced, and been working on it for a while. I hope, I at the very least, I should have a playable deck with me, if not, like, done decks to take to Vegas. So I hope to be doing that. And here's the other admission I'm going to make.
Yeah.
It, as much as I just talked about hating Monopoly...
Yeah.
My game has some inspiration from a tangential Monopoly game.
Oh, right. Like the Monopoly card.
A couple of the ideas I've integrated in here are fully taken out of that. So I'm excited about it. I can't wait to show people. Nice. It's going to be great. And I coughed all over my mock-ups yesterday. So that was great.
Oh no, did you cough up anything? Like, you didn't cough up something?
No. Just I'm sure if we blacklighted it, we'd find some evidence of something, but I don't want to do that.
They're hock-up mock-ups is what they
hock-up
are.
Mock-ups. They're no longer mock-ups, they're hock-ups. All right, hocking things up, let's hock up a break and do a commercial here, or not a commercial. What do we call these?
That's called a song. It's called an Indian in the Middle. That's what I refer to them as. And
well, tell me more about this song that we're playing in the middle.
Yeah, I will. As of about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, a German funk band. Listen, if you have not heard any German funk today, then I'm glad that this is going to be your first German funk listening as of, you know, November 29th. A band called the Winston Brothers, their debut album Drift just came out on November 18th via Coal Mine Records. This is freaking awesome. And this is like some 70s. Era, oh my God, who's the Green Onions dude? Shoot, why can I not remember that guy's name? The more I struggle to remember that guy's name.
Green Onions guy, I don't know.
Green Onions. There was a song called Green Onions that you know, that you've heard a million times.
Oh. Why do I not know?
Booker T and the MGs. Thank you, Moose, for saving me there.
Yeah.
This is So Booker T and the MGs, It Hurts, and it's fantastic. The Winston Brothers from their brand new album, Drift. Here is the title track.
Man, the holidays, they're here. And Christmas is just right around the freaking corner. And boy, what a bustling, crazy time the holiday season can be. Well, it's the perfect time to plan ahead with Factor, a ready-to-eat meal delivery. They shop, prep, cook, and deliver to your door so you can enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right here, right during the holidays, minus the hassle. Oh, so much hassle. Why have the hassle? Plus, with 34 meals per week, including gourmet plus, keto, calorie smart, vegan plus veggie, and 36 plus weekly add-ons. Well, you pretty much have a nutritious, flavorful option to choose from every single time. Factor is delicious, on-the-go solution, and they have a deal for you right now. 60% off your first box. Go to factor75.com/TMS60. Use the code TMS60 to get 60% off. Super easy to do. I liked everything I got from them. All of it. I especially zeroed in on chicken meals, and they were all freaking fantastic. I didn't have to do anything. I pop the top, I heat them up, I eat them, and I feel like I got way more worth my money for that meal than I would have had gone out somewhere or had to make a bunch of stuff myself. It was really good. They put all that work into it, so I don't have to. Registered dietitians, expert chefs, they all work hand in hand to make the meals that are amazing. My holidays are already jam-packed, and luckily, Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals make it easy for me to fuel up when I'm on the go and save time, which is fantastic. I can heat and eat these things in like 2 minutes, which is fantastic. It's cheaper than dining out, plus the money you save toward holiday can be, you know, for you. Instead of spending money, a bunch of extra money on deliveries and other stuff, you know, too much money at a restaurant, save that for Christmas. How about that? Not only does Factor offer fast, simple solutions when I'm busy and can't, you know, take the time I need to cook, they also help me stay on top of my goals with offerings like Protein Plus, Keto, whatever I need so I can stay on track. This is definitely going to come in handy during these holidays. So here's what I want you to do. Go to factor75.com/TMS60. Use the code TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code TMS60 at go.factor75.com/TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. Do it. You'll be happy you did.
You know, if you're really interested in being hypnotized, I could do it and not even charge you.
How about tomorrow around noon?
Noon? Let's see. I don't work tomorrow at noon. That'd be great.
John, in this scenario, found his subject and is having her meet him in a safe place.
I do love the tentacle.
The Morning Stream. I don't know what's scarier, losing nuclear weapons, or that it happens so often that there's actually a term for it.
These old Fletcher things I'm finding are very weird.
So good.
Anyway, hey, remind me who that was. That's probably was great. I'll listen to it later, but I'm sure it was
probably
amazing.
Great. Yeah, this is the German funk band, the Winston Brothers. Their debut album, Drift, just came out earlier this month. That was the title track, Drift, by the Winston Brothers.
That's a great name for a thing.
It is, the Winston Brothers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The first track on that album is actually the Winston theme song, and it's, you know, it's all instrumental stuff. This is actually would be great music for while you're getting work done.
But oh,
it is so
really? Okay.
Smooth, funky. It's great. It is really, really good.
All right, I'm definitely listening to that after the show.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, we got Bobby incoming.
Bobby?
Yeah, Bill's down with some sort of head cold thing.
So now it's up to Bobby to not just bring us science, but also make something.
Yeah, he's got
to
make something.
Science.
It's his scientific duty to do both his job and Bill's.
That's right. That's right.
Bobby, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I landed the plane today.
Oh, nice.
Tell me more. Is this your first landing, or where is this in the process of your learning thing that you're doing?
So I've been working on landings for a long time. I've been working on what's called traffic pattern work.
Yeah.
And so you take off, you do a rectangle around the airport, and then to come back and land again. And I'd been working on getting the takeoff and traffic pattern flying and getting, you know, getting the plane into various, you know, setups and everything, doing that really, really well. But the landing is the hardest part, of course. And so the way my flight instructor does it is he progressively helps less and less.
Oh,
every, okay. Good. As it goes on, you know, like, okay. And so the whole time I'm supposed to be treating it like I'm the one doing it, right? Like right. he's just only jumping in when he needs to. And today I did two landings where he didn't have to do anything at all.
Oh, weird. So when you do that, this is purely logistics question, I guess, but when you do that, yep. You take off, you do your rectangle or mm-hmm. whatever, you land, do you immediately take off again?
Yes, exactly. So okay. if that's the practice that you're doing, they're called touch and go landings, if yeah. you've ever heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's what a touch and go is.
Cars just have a great song about that.
Yeah.
So you come down, wheels touch the ground, and then you immediately go into a takeoff configuration. For my plane, that means you put the flaps up, full power, and then get back up to takeoff speed and then take off again. And, you know, sometimes if you take too long to land, then you might be too far down the runway, and then you'd have to stop and taxi off and taxi back to the start of the runway again. But
yeah.
But the goal is you just... And not that the goal is this, but the it's more efficient, it's faster if you can just do touch and go landings. But wheels touch the ground and then you take off again.
Do you feel a sense of like I don't know, confidence that you've never had before because you've conquered the skies in such a meaningful way today? Like,
I actually feel I feel really, really good because it's been, I mean, I've been in the plane, been flying time, engine time. 15 hours working on this. This is like months and months of working on it, and it's still not perfect by any means. Like I did do it on my own, but you know, one of them was really hard landing, and so I'm still working on it, and it'd be lots of practice. But it's a big milestone to get that done.
I was just thinking, like, your instructor to be a flight instructor seems like a very precarious job. Like,
it seems scary.
It does, because you have to, you know, it's not unlike, I guess, teaching teenagers how to drive or whatever. But I assume he has like a teacher with a car, you know, training how to drive. They often have gas and brake pedals on their side and stuff like that. Does he have that kind of stuff? So if he was suddenly like, oh, shit, Bobby just did the worst thing.
Yeah.
Can he do that?
Yeah, and he has had to do that before because I'm learning, and mistakes in a plane are a lot more deadly than mistakes in a car.
Yeah.
These damn mistakes off this plane.
but he has all the controls. He can fly the whole plane from the right seat, and I think most planes are like that, right? They have two yokes on both sides.
Or
if they don't have two yokes. Yeah, if they don't have two yokes, then I've been in a plane before. A friend of mine who has a plane who has it's not two yokes, but it's a yoke that's on a swivel that you can just swivel over to the right seat.
Yeah.
So the point is that your co-pilot, the person in the right seat, should be able to fly the plane from where they are. There's two sets of rudder pedals and everything. You just have to reach for with the opposite hand.
You know, they call it, sometimes they call it two yolks, they call it the double chicken. You know, they call it that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't do that.
That's a weird one when you crack it open and there's two yolks.
That is true. It means twins, right? I guess. I don't know what it meant. What does it mean?
Would have been if you didn't murder it.
Yeah. If we hadn't murdered it or had gotten properly fertilized, we would have had twins, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the deal. And those ones that are, that sometimes like eight of them will come out, that could have been a quintuple or
a litter of chicks.
A litter of chicks. Yeah.
Fraternal twins, right?
Yeah, they would have been fraternal.
It was almost a girl group.
They were just the fraternal chicks of chicken birth or whatever their name would be. Hey, Bobby, let's get to some science. There's probably a few things roiling around, and I'd love to know what we're talking about this week. So, what are we doing?
First, I have a question for Brian about something he mentioned earlier. So, sure. Your honeycomb recipe, it doesn't have it. It just has baking soda. No, it's not baking powder.
It's not baking powder. It's baking soda. The little orange box with the arm and the hammer on it.
So it's interesting. Do you taste? There's no bitterness in it at all.
No. You're doing a tablespoon in like a cup and a half of granulated sugar and honey. So it's,
I guess there's a lot of sweetness.
There's a lot. Like, basically it's like, I didn't taste that shot of alcohol that I put into that 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke.
right. Yeah. Cause that's why they, you know, baking powder has tartaric acid in it to kind of like cut through the bitterness of the,
And I don't know what if there's other recipes that use baking powder in place of it, because it seems like that or bicarb or something like that would have roughly the same effect. It looks a lot like when you mix, what is it, vinegar and baking soda as well? Is that the deal? Vinegar and baking soda? Yeah. Like where it just goes, you know,
volcano. And it's actually it's pretty much the same reaction too. The vinegar in the baking soda just is just a purely, like, it just makes the reaction without heat, but it's the same thing. You're getting carbon dioxide. That's what's causing the puffing up, because the heat
And TV's Travis explains that that baking soda is bicarb. So what they call in the UK bicarb is basically is what we call baking soda.
Bicarbonate soda is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when it breaks down, you're getting soda ash. That's the the sodium carbonate.
Two carbon molecules and
It's my favorite Overwatch skin. Carbon ash.
Carbonite ash.
Ash is great, but she looks real good in her carbon suit. Anyway.
I wanted to talk about I wanted to talk about what happens to things that I'm trying to go from like ingesting liquids somehow, but you eat honeycomb. Anyway, pee.
Okay. All right. No.
That segue was just fine.
Yeah,
no
that
need
was all right. you took the freeway, but you got there. It's fine.
I like taking the long way.
You maybe didn't use
around.
The off ramp, but you got off the freeway just the same.
Yeah. It's like those people, who just missed the, how they're like cutting all the way across the stripes and
from the left lane all the way to the off ramp. And
Podcast edition.
So, there was a, not just pee, I want to talk about urinals even better.
Sweet. Yeah.
Great.
So, I've had
cake in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. There we go.
There's your connection. There's a little cake in them. All right. Nicely done.
So I've had women complain to me before, or people who have to sit down to pee. I've had them complain to me before about their general annoyance at the fact that those of us with penises can stand up to pee, right?
Yeah. Sure. Well, we can still sit, but you're right, we have the option.
But we do have the option. Yeah.
Listen, if I need to get a quick game of Marvel Snap in.
right. I do find myself sitting down to pee a lot more lately.
Sure.
You're right. Yeah. But I'm here to say that it's not all it's cracked up to be, right? Because urinals are disgusting.
They really are. Yeah. It's not just because you're avoiding putting your flesh down on a seat doesn't mean you're avoiding any sort of grossness and splashback and all that stuff. So
right, a lot of times they contain debris too, which can't be flushed. Right?
What do we qualify as debris? Oh, like if somebody spits their gum in there or something like that.
Well, I suppose some debris could be people doing the wrong number in the urinal.
Now, that's true. My brother did that when he got here from America. Like first week of school, he pooped in a urinal. I had to take him home. The teacher was like, "What's he doing? This we can't have this. Take your brother home." And I was still pretty. I mean, I was 8 or 9, but I was like, "Well, he doesn't understand. In Korea, they squat over holes, and he thought that's what that was." And so he, it was one of the floor urinals, not the ones that are up high. It's one of the ones that urinal goes from floor all the way to whatever height they go to. And my brother took a big old dump in it. He wouldn't do that now. He's learned his lesson, okay? He's in his 50s, but I'm saying.
Or he might do it, but for a different reason.
For a whole different reason. It's for the likes and the lulls or whatever. But back then.
TikTok.
He didn't know. And Mr. Wood, I'll never forget that guy's name. Mr. Wood, this tall, bald administrator, came storming into my class and said, "Scott Johnson, I need you to take your brother home." Why? He defecated in the urinal, he says. Anyway,
that was your responsibility.
Job was to take him home, even though he was older than me. My brother's older than me by like a few years, couple years. And it was my job to take him home. So
Scott, get him out of here.
Wow.
And Matt didn't know English really at all. So I was like,
right,
shit in urinal. Like, what am I supposed to say? Anyway, sorry.
Right. So, also the, I think a lot of people who don't use urinals don't really fully appreciate how you're standing there in a line of people.
Yeah, it's the worst. I hate it.
But anyway, it's not all it's cracked up to be, especially because there can be splashback, and that's what we're going to talk about.
This is great. I'm really wanting to know where this goes. So let's go. Where are we? Tell me more.
Splashback is the idea for those who don't pee with penises. Splashback is when you're peeing on the urinal and it splashes back onto you. And anybody who's used a urinal, it's happened to you. You can't deny it. I mean, you can, but
try to deny it when you walk back into the Chili's and you've got a wet mark where there was no wet mark before.
We've all used the excuse that, I was washing my hands and it splashed. but there's a scientist who just published a paper recently. They've been working on how to prevent the physics of how to prevent splashback.
Right? Okay. All right.
There's lots of fancy urinals that try to accomplish this by having like really weird shapes or really
curves and stuff.
Yeah. deep set urinals and everything. But the reason that splashback occurs is due to the angle of the stream. All right.
Okay.
The lower the
vary?
Angle.
That varies though, depending on who's aiming where, right?
Right. Depends on how tall you are. Depends on how you like to aim.
Yeah.
But either way, the angle determines the splashback. The lower the angle, 90 degrees being the highest angle, the lower the angle, the less splashback. So if you're shooting straight at the back of the urinal, 90 degrees, you're going to get lots of splashback. Mm-hmm. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You want to lower the angle until you reach a critical angle where no splashback occurs. These are terms that they're using, critical angle.
This water is cold. Yeah, and it's deep, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they got the idea for how to construct this and this critical angle idea from watching dogs pee, because I guess that's what physicists do.
Sure.
That's some animal testing I don't feel too bad about. You know?
Yeah, you're watching the dog pee. They realize that they're always going for a low angle. They seem to intuitively know how high to lift their leg,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because they don't get splashback. And so they designed a tall, thin toilet that has a specially engineered curving on the inner surface so that the critical angle, you're always getting as close to the critical angle no matter where you stand, how tall you are, or what direction you're aiming.
Do you have a photo of this or a link?
I was just going to ask the exact same thing.
I tried so hard. I think, so a lot of times, so this was where I didn't, so that to answer your question, no, I couldn't find a picture of it.
Yeah.
And I really wish I had a picture of it because I want to see it too. But it seems like very visual. But I think what it is this was revealed at a conference of a sort. And I think at a lot of conferences where people are presenting data and presenting research, that it's early in that and that they don't want all of it in the hands of people necessarily because they're still working out the kinks and they haven't published yet. So, you know, you go to conferences and a lot of times people will say they don't want you taking photos to post on social media and stuff like that. That's my guess as to why I couldn't find any photos. Or maybe they're just trying to sell this toilet eventually.
They want to keep it away from the idea jackers, basically.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they said that the shape of it they got was inspired by the shape of nautilus shells and how they curve. So that might give you an image in your mind.
Sure. A nautilus shell, though. Why can't I picture that? What is that?
Like it's your typical, your spiral shell.
Like, oh, okay. Your stereotypic, hey, there's a crab walking and he's got that on his back. That whole thing.
Right.
Kind of.
But see, the problem with those, like the smaller the opening that you have to pee into, the fewer people that can support of different heights, right? Because they've got to basically be able to get to that hole.
Right. There was a link in the chat asking if this was it. That's the paper, the article that I looked at, but those aren't that's just a stock footage of a bunch of different toilets or a stock photo.
Oh, look at those weird things.
Oh, wow. They're pretty, dude. I kind of like the teardrop upside
down.
Number
5
teardrop.
is belongs on our film sack checklist, basically.
Yeah, no kidding. Some of these are, I can't tell what's going on with the one in the middle. What are we doing there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an angled with a, like angled thing with a triangle opening.
Yeah, that's really weird.
What's your take on what number urinal you're supposed to use if you walk into a bathroom with 5 urinals that
this
are
is a great question.
Unoccupied?
Oh, I always go with the third one in. That's what I do.
You go the middle.
I do the middle.
So you're the a-hole that I don't like then.
Yeah, so that's weird. because I don't want it. I figure that others are going to go on the edges, and if I go middle, they'll avoid me.
Yeah, but here, if you're the first one in there and you go to the middle, so the alternative is you go all the way to the end so that the next person in can have the maximum distance away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're doing is you're guaranteeing that the next two people have to be closer to you than the second one.
You know what?
The next person, exactly. Next person has to be one urinal away from you, where they could have been five urinals away from you.
You know what? That's that's really a good point. I'd never considered. I thought I was actually doing a favor to everybody by avoiding the sides.
I rescind calling you an a-hole and just...
Yeah, take that back.
You just haven't really thought about it.
It's just he hasn't done the math yet. It's the problem.
Clearly not, but that makes sense. Okay. I love it. You know what? I love some of the women in our lives. Shoujo beat in the chat. I go to the first available one. Do you have urinals in the ladies' room in there? What do you guys got going on in there?
It's a whole different experience because have your own little stall,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Stalls don't matter, but you have to be able to hand a square if you need to spare a square.
That's right.
We have to think about people like accidentally catching sight of other people's junk. We have to think about like, are we going to be so close that somebody can whisper into our ear? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's
all right. I'm gonna change my behavior.
Maximizing what were you saying?
I'm gonna say I'm gonna change my behavior. I'm annoyed
You want to maximize your distance from other people, but also the next person's distance from other people.
Exactly. It's like you take number one or number five first, and then the next person takes the other one or five, and then the third person has to take number three.
Okay, let me ask you this. What if it's one of those bathrooms like at an airport where there's just like forever
a couple shorties?
Yeah, and there's a ton of them. Do I just still stay to the outsides and work your way in?
Or if it's one of those giant troughs at like rest areas?
Oh, those are the worst.
Those are the absolute worst. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. My gosh. Whose idea was that, honestly? Beat that person up.
You ever notice that when it's the trough, they always just make it out of like brushed metal?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like the cheapest material they could find.
Because they're like, we're already going to humiliate you by putting you at a trough.
You know, it's only slightly better than, we just took a roll of aluminum foil and made a...
Yeah.
Made a canoe out of it. Pee in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I hate it. Those things are... Our high school had that. We had a big circular one. We didn't have urinals in my high school. We had a big giant trough everybody had to share.
Yeah.
And if you want to know why I avoided ever going to the bathroom at my school, it's because of that. Because, like, come on, give me a break. They had these portables outside. The teachers had a portable... You know the portables? Is that what they called them? They were like separate buildings. They're like add-ons for your school. We called them portables.
We called them... what do we call them? We had a different name for them.
I don't even know why we
called them trailers.
Yeah, that's as good. Yeah. Basically, is what it was, right? They were pop-up trailers, we called them portables for I don't know why.
Interesting.
But anyway, they had one of them had bathrooms in it. Nobody was supposed to know. Teachers would use them.
the annex, the teacher's lounge annex, basically.
And we found out, and we started using it, and that caused a kerfuffle. But anyway. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. But a trough? Freaking, what are you trying to do? You trying to make everyone's life bad? My gosh. Anyway, sorry, Bobby. Continue on. So do you think this is it? We're going to... This is the problem with these kind of innovations. Japan will do it. No one else will do it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Like every other bath. I'm not going to go to the mall.
I still want to see Toto washlets make a more prominent visibility in America. And not in the that secret bathroom at the Mandalay Bay. I want Toto washlets all over the place.
I agree. Toto washlets for life, man. I mean, but seriously, like, that's what happens. When you have infrastructure already laid out, and by that I just mean everybody's already got a giant room full of their urinals, what chance does this have to permeate that?
You're only going to see this in, like, fancy restaurants.
Yeah.
and other places like that.
Great. The 1% gets to benefit from the cool new toilet tech while the rest of us plebeians have to pee in a trough.
No more pee on their khakis.
There was a place. Oh, it's the Colorado Tap House. So we got a brewery near us that I'd never used their urinals until a couple weeks ago. I was there for trivia and went in, and they're like, their urinals were a two-thirds of an egg.
Okay.
With a small opening near the top. So it's like a much deeper base that definitely seems like it prevents splashback. And at a brewery, you don't want splashback because you're just sitting there drinking beer and there's going to be a lot of urinating.
Yeah, and you're tall, though. Did it have the right height for you? Was it?
It did. Okay. Yeah, it was, and they had like one tall and one short, but none that were like low enough to be considered kid level.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just take your kid into the stall and
yeah, do it the old fashioned
way. You take him to the bar, you're taking him to the stall.
Yeah. When my kids were little, we never had tiny toilets. You had to take them into the room. That's just the way it was.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I used to hate doing that. Yeah. It's like, I told you to pee at home. That was basically my thing every time we went anywhere. That's interesting. I mean, all jokes aside, peeing is a human thing.
Yeah.
We all have
everybody
to do it.
Does it.
Yep. And it's important that you do it. And it's also important, I don't know, to have public, as close as you can get to public cleanliness. Men's bathrooms are gross by design, and women's are also not that nice. I mean, the worst bathroom I ever saw, still to this day, without any hesitation or comparison, and I've seen a lot of roadside stuff and a lot of weird things up in the mountains and all that.
Sure.
The weirdest, worst, grossest bathroom was 4 a.m., main floor of the Hilton in Anaheim and BlizzCon.
Worse than the Jack in the Box, the block off of the Strip in Vegas.
Worse than that, because that had a heroin guy shooting up while I was bothered when I opened the stall.
That was clean.
But it was kind of clean. This thing had, there was vomit and feces and urine and people sitting in there on the floor and no toilet wasn't plugged. Every urinal had paper everywhere. Nightmare. The cleaning staff at the Hilton, I have nothing. No wonder you charge $10 for a water bottle. You need the money to clean that mess up. It's so bad.
I wonder if this toilet will help vomit splashback.
Maybe.
Oh.
No.
You better not be vomiting in the urinal.
In the urinal? That's a good point.
There's your debris problem right there.
That's debris. Oh my gosh. You're right. Don't barf in a public urinal. Don't do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Well, all right. This has all been fascinating.
Enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
Yeah. Enjoy your, whatever you're eating, and, don't forget to stay hydrated. So you pee a lot and do it in a clean place. Bobby,
before Bobby leaves though, we have a quick fire question.
Oh, we do. I totally forgot we had this. Sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. Bobby, I do have a quick fire question for you. This actually came via text, and, they said this, this is from Kendor, who I assume is some sort of Star Wars villain.
He's in that tiny little city under a cloche that Superman keeps in his garage.
Oh, fantastic. That's the Kendor. Well, then this is an even more powerful question. He says, hey guys, quick one for Bobby's science segment. If you could have lunch with one science expert, living or dead, who would it be? Love the show and the segment, Kendor. Bobby, do you have an answer to that? Who would you, plop down and have a sandwich with?
I think the easy answer is Bill Nye, I've always found Brian Greene to be kind of a interesting to talk to.
Who's that?
This Brian kid Green. From Beverly Hills 90210. Really?
Brian Greene. He's a physicist.
Oh, not Brian Austin Greene.
Brian Austin Greene. Green. A completely different Brian Greene.
Wasn't it Greer?
Yeah, he's a physicist and mathematician. He does a lot of science communication, and I think he explains a lot of physics topics in a way that's easy to understand. I think it'd be really cool to sit down and talk to him and help me understand a lot of like dark energy stuff that I don't get.
And he yet lives, so he's around. You can totally do that.
Yeah.
Him and Bill Nye, totally. I see the Bill Nye one because Bill Nye seems like he'd be fun at lunch, like a good time, bunch of laughs and stuff.
Is that Neil deGrasse Tyson or Carl Sagan or...
Carl Sagan would be great, but probably heavy, right?
It's like, oh,
so
man.
If
you realize we're only on this tiny blue
lunch,
dot.
I want it to be light conversation.
Yeah, it's a good point. You don't want somebody who's going to be too deep.
My God, Brian May, what a great choice.
Brian May's good.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, he's a...
Feynman would be a great one, too.
Yeah.
Feynman, yeah.
Okay.
No,
who would you do if they were dead? Give me a dead one.
What's his name?
Hawking would be good.
Copernicus.
I mean, you can go old.
Socrates, the original.
Yeah, go way back.
Pythagoras, like, boy, you just did one trick pony.
Right. Yep. Tell me about your theorem, and then lunch is over.
Pythagoras. What was his name? The inventor of the Pythagorean theorem.
Pythagoras. You're right.
Pythagoras. That's it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They call them.
That would be.
They call them Aggie for short.
Pyth. Hey, Pyth.
Hey, Pyth. Come here. Give me your theorem.
Neil deGrasse Tyson annoys me.
He annoys me too, but I don't know why. I don't actually have a reason. Yeah. I think it's just his delivery.
He seems so like snarky and up his own butt.
Yeah, I think that's what's
time.
Going.
Like he's like, this is. Couldn't you just be smarter?
Right. Exactly.
There is a little bit.
Of course, you can do it.
Yeah. My impression of him is he's brilliant as anybody. He just comes off as really arrogant about it. And maybe he's not. He just has that way. I don't know. I can't.
Yeah.
Judge.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very weird. But anyway, Brian Green's your answer. There you go. So do that, everybody. Send your questions in. And if you do, Bobby might answer one. I might. Brian might. Who knows where your text will go. 801-471-0462 is the number to send those to. Bobby, tell us about All Around Science and what's going on over there this week.
The podcast I do, weekly science podcast, All Around Science, with my co-host, Maura. We just put out an episode, which is sort of we finished up the Nobel Prizes from 2022. We talked about a while ago when they first came out. We focused on the one in physics, but we did the rest of them. This one on Monday, the Nobel Prize in medicine and the Nobel Prize in chemistry, and it was fun. We talked about it and we had a good time, and you should check it out. We talk about science news and interesting things that we find interesting every week. So check that out, All Around Science.
And you can find it anywhere that podcasts are available. It's my understanding.
That's right.
Bobby, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. He says yeep.
Yeep.
Yeep. Yeep. Paul is dead.
Go land the plane.
Go land the plane again. All right, that's it for Bobby. Thank you, Bobby, for that. That was awesome. Let's do a quick email before we get out of here today.
Okay.
This is an email from, Emil in the Netherlands. He says, hey, S&B, yesterday you talked about the speed of podcasts, and Brian said it would be impossible for him, also because of the music. All right. He says this, I listen to you guys at 1.5 speed or at 150%, smiley face. Nice throwback.
That is appropriate use of the percentage above 100%. Well done.
Well done. Nicely done. And the smiley face makes me realize that guy's listening. So thanks for listening to the show.
Exactly. Yes.
The song you played at the end of the show yesterday was played at 1.5. Most songs sound weird at that speed, but sometimes it just sounds like it's supposed to sound if you've never heard the original. So if you've never heard it, it sounds normal
to
him.
You might think that, exactly. Yes.
That's the problem, though. Because then one day you're going to hear it somewhere and go, why is that all screwed up?
Well, is this the slow dance version of Mambo Number 5? Wow, it's...
No kidding. He says, I thought it'd be a fun game to let Scott guess songs that Brian has or hasn't sped up. Anyway, love the show, though, Emil. There you go. That could be fun.
That could be fun, yeah. The trick is doing the speed up the way that the podcast apps do speed up, which is taking out space as opposed to just... cranking up the speed.
Doesn't it do also, I thought it also did just, it keeps the pitch the same, but like when we do the slowdown thing with me and you.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Right, where it...
It depends on the app, though. I don't know. They're all not at the same. Some of them cut out space. Some of them cut out space and speed up. So I don't know.
Right.
But in music's case, since there's no space, well, I just have to hear it, I guess, and I never do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that today. After the show's posted, I'll go back to the podcast app.
And listen to this episode with the music sped up and see what you think.
And maybe I'll play it, record a little here, and then we can talk about why we still think it sucks tomorrow.
Have you, Netflix for a while was giving you the option to watch movies at higher speed?
They still do. They still do.
Yeah, did you ever do any of that?
Never did. Have you ever tried it?
No.
I just abhor the idea so much that I never...
I do too. Man, you think David Lynch was pissed off about people watching movies on their phones.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what he'd say about...
Let's see.
I can't imagine a director would be like, I'm totally okay with that. That's such a great idea.
I'll pull up some random Netflix thing and let's just see what it does. I don't know what to use. How about... I don't want to get something that'll get me in trouble here. Okay, the extended cut of Hateful Eight. Let me just pull up a scene here.
The Hateful Four and a Half is what it would be. Before,
okay, they're in the...
I don't mean to unduly imply intimacy.
Love this movie so much.
There's Kurt Russell right there.
Well.
All right, so there it is now. Can I play it? Oh, here we go.
Still got what?
1.5, here we go.
The Lincoln Letter.
course. Got it on you?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Right here. Find some real dialogue.
Now, are they doing, like, is it, does the movement look like Keystone Cops kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's totally speeding up. So what you hear matches video. Everyone's moving faster. It blows.
Yeah. Okay.
That is the dumbest. I hate it. Freaking hate it. Who is doing that? That would drive
that's just
me
one
crazy.
Isn't there? There's a two or a two speed too, isn't there?
Like there's a max on mine is only showing 1.5, but maybe it depends on program. Also, it will do a 1.25, so it'll do a quarter faster. But that sucks. Freaking hate it, Brian.
Yeah,
hate it.
No, thank you,
Emil. Do what you want, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You live your best life. All right. And if we sound like this, that's fine.
He won't even know. He won't even know what that sounded like because it sounded normal.
He won't even know. Except I guess it'll be like 2.5 now because everything we say, it'll screw him up. Okay, quick note about today, 3:30 Mountain Time. There will be a Play Retro, me and Brian Dunaway doing our thing. We're talking about Mario Kart and all the stuff it inspired. So check that out if you like retro games. It's the perfect show for you. Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts. Brian, you got anything else going on today?
I don't. I do have a Soundography I've got to post. We're starting to post our You Gotta Listen to This episodes in anticipation of the next season of the show. But that, I think, actually, it could drop today, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
I think I want to make sure you give us enough time so that we've got a pool of episodes for around the holidays where we're not going to be really recording new episodes, and we want to have and we want to have content still coming out week after week, but not, you know, not recording week after
week.
Right,
right. No, that makes sense. Sandbag.
Yeah.
Or whatever we used to call that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, if you at home are sitting there going, man, you know what I sure like? I like extra content tacked onto my podcast. I like to never hear commercials. Or how about, I don't know, cool art in the mail? Well, there's one way to get it. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS and sign up today. We got a brand new month coming. That is patreon.com/TMS. For all else, frogpants.com/TMS has you covered. Brian, let's get out of here.
A little secret, by the way, is coming on the heels of the FilmSec video cassette magnets that I created, holding up one for a demonstration.
I love these. Yeah.
I might be working on something for TMS.
Oh, you don't say. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find mine. Oh, there it is.
It's probably stuck to the fridge.
I keep it handy right here by the
When are you gonna paint that thing?
I don't know. I guess when am I gonna paint anything is a bigger question.
Yeah, right, exactly. Batman's still sitting there.
He's still gray as gray, man. Right there. Looking at me going,
when are you gonna paint me?
Paint me. My parents were killed. Paint me. They were killed in an alleyway. All right. That's it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Brian, let's play a song. You got one?
I will play a song. Because you've asked nicely, I'll play a song. Oh. And again, we're in the situation where I've got a lot of requests to catch up with. So this one actually is from the end of last week, I believe. Nope, over the week. Yeah, last week. Yep.
Okay.
Friday. TV's Travis, our good buddy TV's Travis, always quick with a movie recommendation that we haven't seen, or a correction in chat, said my birthday was November 25th, which I know is a Friday and probably not a TMS day. So fit this in where you can. I love Clutch, and their cover of Electric Worry is just a toe-tapping good time. Thanks for the endless hours of entertainment and fun. Let's test the ship's phasers.
Oh, we should test the ship's phasers. That's easy to do if I can just click the right button.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There it is.
Nicely done. All right, so this is the song Electric Worry, and it's performed by Clutch from their album From Beale Street to Oblivion. Now, if you're looking for, I'm looking for the original version of a song called Electric Worry, you're not going to find it because this is only a partial cover. Muddy Waters did the original version did the original song Trouble No More, and this features, it's kind of a partial cover of that. Also kind of reminds you a little bit of Boom 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 Do 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 by John Lee Hooker. Anyway, here is Electric Worry from the band Clutch.
See you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
Well, you made me weep, and you made me moan. Well, you caused me to leave, child, my happy home. But someday, baby, you ain't worry my life anymore.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Y'all here for a vacation?
Sure are, buddy.
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.